Once again, thank you for being here. We're going to do things just a little bit different today, and I'm going to ask the team to, or I have asked the team to stay up here. You've seen the little sheets of paper in your seats. I want everyone to have one of those and something to write with here in a minute. We'll put those to good use. I want to share with you this short message that I think can be very impactful when we'll if we'll get this in our hearts. And by the way, I want to say thank you to our graduates and thank you to everyone that participates in that prayer and their lives. Listen, the church is a place where a community of people do life together. So when someone has a family member that graduates, we all celebrate as a family. Amen. So that's why it doesn't bother me at all to take time to do that and to honor our graduates. They've done something great. So I just wanted to point that out. We don't want to just subside everything that we want to come together as a family, as a community of believers. Christianity is communal, whether you like it or not. All right. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, if you would, please. What weighs us down? What puts pressure on us? What stresses you out? There are times and seasons that we go through in this life that seem to be a little bit extra difficult, right? How do we respond to that? What keeps us from experiencing God's freedom and God's will in our lives, especially during these difficult seasons that we may go through? Hebrews 12:1 says this: therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A lot of these terms that we read in this passage in Hebrews, and a lot of Paul's writings, include this likeness or this similarity or comparison between the Christian life and an athlete or a runner in a race. Race requires endurance, just as our Christian life sometimes requires endurance. Life as a Christian does not mean that you'll no longer experience difficult and testing and troubling times. However, life as a Christian does mean that we have been given the power of God's Spirit on the inside of us to endure those difficult times until the manifestation of the promise of victory. Amen? That's power. That's an endurance that a lot of people without God don't have. Endurance actually is one of the products produced in you by the Spirit of God. Long-suffering or patience, or some translations, endurance. And the plot of this scripture infers that there are things in this life that we face, that happen, that can impede our run. He calls it encumbrance and sin. Now this covers an aspect, a negative aspect and a positive aspect of life. Encumbrance and sin in that verse in Hebrews. Encumbrance comes from the Greek word akosa. It's a mass. It's weight. So much so that it signifies the bowing and bulging of the pressure of this weight. Encumbrance to to a runner. That's like trying to run a race while carrying a boulder. It could be good things, it could be bad things. It may be grief. And we're all going to experience grief, and that's okay. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying, are you carrying that around instead of being freed from it so that you can run a race freely in God's will? Grief, anger, frustration even. Sometimes we have this bad stuff, this bad news, these videos that you get hooked into watching on Facebook, and you're like, what is going on in the world? And it kind of stirs up an anger within you. That's a weight. It's encumbrance. Unforgiveness, fear, worry, anxiety. Sometimes habits can be a weight, distractions. We have this encumbrance. And then he says also, we have this sin that entangles us. Euparistassos is this entanglement. And what it is, this is actually a racing term as well. Anything that's going to trip up the runner or stop the runner, keep him from being able to run. It's an idea of having something surround your legs so that you cannot move freely. The sin that entangles us. I talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago with the parable of the condition of soils. And if we don't continuously weed out those thorns grow and begin to entangle the crops that we want to harvest. But we can't if we don't get rid of those thorns and those weeds, because it'll choke them out. Entanglement into sin. Actually, Paul also describes this when he's in Ephesians, when he's talking about the armor of God. One of the pieces of the armor of God is a girdle. Sorry, guys. It's a girdle. Gird your loins. And in those days, you know, they wore tunics, sometimes two layers of a tunic. And what they would do is a girdle belt. Let's call it a belt from here on out, okay? I feel funny saying girdle in church. A belt was what went around it. And one thing that the belt did is it held the sheath for the sword or a knife. And also you could gird your loins. In other words, you get your tunic and you wrap it up in a certain way and you tuck it in your belt so that you could move and run freely. No entanglements, right? We have to watch out for the entanglements. Like God told Cain in Genesis 6, I talked about during the door sermon. He said, God told Cain, there's sin crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must master it. We have to watch out for this. We have to lay aside the encumbrance and sin. We can run this race unencumbered in the freedom of God's will if we have the discipline to rid ourselves of the hindrances of life. Okay? Galatians 5, 7, and 8. Here Paul's going to talk about this a little bit also, using a race, an athlete comparison. Galatians 5, 7, and 8. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. So I want you to get a picture of this. Paul is writing to church people who were doing great. That is, until they allowed an outside influence to impact their run. Now, what this shows us also is that there are times that we can run well, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves not running well. You've heard the phrase, it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. in Christianity, it's the whole entire race. That means that there needs to be times that we stop and evaluate our agility in our Christian race. Are we running free of hindrances, free of sins? Are we running freely in the will of God? Because weight often happens very gradually. I used to watch a TV show called The Office, and in one of the Office episodes, Jim, one of the office guys, is pulling a prank on Dwight. Every day, Jim takes a penny and puts a penny in his phone receiver. One penny a day. Dwight never notices because it's just one penny a day. How much is a penny weigh? It's just no problem. But obviously, as you know, that phone receiver is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And pretty soon the whole thing's full of pennies and it's heavy. Dwight doesn't realize it because it's just happened one penny at a time. And then one night, Jim comes in late, unscrews the receiver and dumps all the pennies out. Puts it back together. Dwight, next morning, phone rings. Because he was used to the weight. Have you ever had a weight lifted off of you that you didn't know was there until it was gone? Anybody? Raise your hands with me. We have to sometimes stop and evaluate our race. Am I carrying stuff? Am I trying to carry my past into my future? Am I weighted down by things that I'm ashamed of in the past? It still comes to mind and I still think of it and still pretty soon I begin to feel this weight. He goes on in Galatians 5:24, go to the 24th verse. He says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit." Crucify your passions and desires. Now, passions is kind of an odd interpretation here. It's pathema. Happens 16 times in the New Testament. All but two of those times, passion is translated to sufferings. It's one of those words back in the old days, passions had more meanings than just one, like we have several English words like that. But it's translated in sufferings, it's afflictions, hard times, pain, calamity. It was the afflictions that Christ had to go through and endure up to the point of the cross. It's a loss of a loved one. It's being wronged by someone that you love and thought loved you. It's a fight with a spouse. It's an unexpected sickness. It's getting fired from a job. Calamity, sufferings. And Paul says, crucify those. Leave that at the cross. And he says, not only your passions, but your desires. Now, this is the flip side of the coin because desires, epithumia, is the things that we want and shouldn't want. Lust, impulse Amazon shopping. Not really. I'm just teasing. Yeah, thank you. I was waiting for a well. But impulses, that lust and those things that we desire that we really shouldn't. See, there are things in our life that we carry because we just naturally want to carry. It's natural human instinct to carry around the things that we've done in our past, this weight, this guilt or shame, or this anger that we have for somebody or another country or our country or whatever it is. There's things that we carry around. We want to fix it. I want to worry about my kids. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to worry about it. That's a weight that we don't have to carry. And then there are things that we don't want to lay aside. We want to carry it because it's enjoyable. It fulfills something in our life. Both of these passions, hindrances, sin that entangles, desires, we have to lay aside. We have to crucify. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't have anything fun to do. You don't get to have hobbies and things like that. There's a healthy way to enjoy life. Just don't go fishing on Sundays. Now, I'm just teasing. That's a joke, too. You can fish on Sundays, as long as you show me where you're going. I'm just suggesting, and I think it's important, I think what Paul is teaching here is that we need to crucify those things that are slowing us down in the race and keeping us from getting to the cross. Realize this. Both of these passages say that we have the ability and the responsibility to lay aside and crucify the hindrances in our life. Jesus said, Luke 21:34, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and worries of life. I want to give to you an example that Paul gave us. We can learn a lot from this in Philippians 1. Turn there if you would, please. It's a good passage. Philippians 1:12. He says, now I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Now, I read that the other day and I thought, wait a second. His circumstances turned out to greater progress to the gospel. I thought to myself, Paul was in jail. He was in prison. He had no freedom. And he writes this, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. You see, Paul did not consider himself to be in bondage to his circumstances. He was in bondage to Christ, which made what seemed like a very negative circumstance actually turn into the successful will of God. Now, while many people, myself included, would probably have thought, what in the world, God? You called me to preach the gospel and then I get thrown in jail. Did I not understand that? I thought you wanted me to preach the gospel to the world and now I'm in jail. Did I miss something? We would have took that terrible turn of events and thought negative things like that. Paul sees the positive in that circumstance that seemed to be terrible. A circumstance like this could become a weight and a worry that Paul has to run his race with. But in Paul's eyes, it launched him and his God-given calling to spread the gospel. I want you to notice this, realize this. Paul's circumstance remained the same, but he carried none of its weight. A lot of times when we talk about laying aside our encumbrances and our sins and the weight and the stress, we think of getting rid of the circumstance. Listen, you do not go to your work tomorrow and say, "My pastor said if I'm stressed, I should quit my job." So what I am saying, like Paul, he was in prison, remained in prison for a while. However, he did not let that circumstance weigh him down. He began to see the positive things that was happening, that God was doing. So when we go through difficult times and circumstances that challenge our faith or our love or our patience, it's not that we need to lay aside the circumstance. We need to lay aside the weight of that circumstance. When I get stressed out because of things that may be going on in church, I get a little bit fired up. That's my cause, right? That's my phrase. I get fired up, you know. And, oh, goodness Lord. But what I need to do is I still am responsible for my job, but I'm laying the weight at the foot of the cross. I don't carry that anymore. I'm casting my anxieties to God because He cares for me. Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Notice the scripture and notice this timeline. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Look at the timeline in this scripture. Before the manifestation of the promise, there comes endurance and the doing of the will of God. Then the manifestation of the promise. Notice the timeline in that first scripture that we read. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising shame. Then he was able to enjoy the manifestation of God's will, him sitting at the right hand of God. We can endure without being hindered in our run. We can endure without being weighted down and stressed out. You can still endure. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. He's producing endurance in your life. Give it all to God and run with endurance in freedom. Just quick, practically, how do we implement this laying aside of our sins that entangles and the hindrances? How do we crucify our passions and desires? Here's my suggestions, four of them. Number one, notice prayerfully what is weighty in your life. I talked about this earlier. Sometimes we need to evaluate our athleticism. Are we running freely in God's will, or am I carrying stuff around that I shouldn't be? Give those things to God. What distracts you when you try to spend quality time with God? Number two, we have to change our thought patterns continuously. Continuously have to change our thought patterns. I continuously try to remember to think about it because I catch myself thinking about things in the past or things I shouldn't or weight that I'm carrying, and I'm like, no. I'm bringing every thought to captivity. Right? Like Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 10:5, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And he also said, set your mind on things above, not this world. Change your thinking. Control your thoughts. Number three, endure like our example of Paul and Jesus. But endure knowing that you don't have to be hindered by your circumstance. You may have to endure it, but don't be weighted down by it. Give it to God. It's very freeing. How heavy is the burden of Christ that he gives to you? So my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Let God have those situations and negative circumstances. Also, something I learned from Paul, even in the most messed up circumstances, like being thrown in jail for very illegal reasons, he saw the positive. He watched God work through him, even in his very worst circumstance. What your enemy means for evil, God will turn into good. 1 Samuel 12:16, I love this verse. Whether it's in context or not, I love this verse. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. When you find yourself in a situation, and you're like, oh my goodness sakes, Jill, when is this going to be over? When are we going to get through this season? This is not looking good. There's too many problems stacking up. Realize and begin to look. Where can I lay aside weight? Where can I de-stress? Not getting rid of stuff, but just giving it to God. Because we try to hold it on. We hold on to ourselves. And notice God's about to do something big in your life. Going through a rough time today, God wants to do something big in your life. I guarantee you. His eyes run to and fro throughout the world to see who he can make himself strong to. So I want you to start thinking about something as I wrap this up. I was inspired by this in the women's conference, and Kaylee suggested this activity for us here at the end of service, and I thought it was a great idea. So I want you to think about this. Just an easy little physical exercise. I want you to think about the things that weigh you down, to stress you out, cause you anxiety, sin that entangles you, whatever is going to keep you from running freely in the will of God. And I want you to write that down, and I want you to bring it up here and place it at the foot of the cross. We're going to sing a song, O Come to the Altar. You're free to join us. But I want you to take that piece of paper and a pencil or pen and write down the things that keep you from freely worshiping God, from freely running that race, from His joy. What keeps you from His peace? Oh, the peace of God is wonderful. I hope we all experience that today in such an amazing way. Write those things down, bring it and put it at the foot of the cross. This activity isn't what's going to heal you or make it great or make things go away. This activity is going to remind you. This is you telling yourself and you telling the world, you telling the spirits of this world and your enemy that I'm not going to worry about my past anymore. I'm going to lay it down. I'm not going to be angry at my neighbor anymore. I'm going to lay that down. This situation that I'm in at my job, I'm giving it to you, God. I'll still go to work. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to give it all to you. So at any point when we start this song, I want you to just go ahead and write that down and bring that up here and put it at the foot of the cross. Paul says in Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But he said this, there's one thing that I do, though. forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you ready to press on today? So we're going to do this song. Come up and put your hindrances. If you would like prayer, you want me to pray with you, Jill and I is going to be over here on this side of the stage. Feel free to come over and pray with us. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to invite you to do that today. Today's a perfect day. Lay your sins at the foot of the cross and you never have to mess with those again. Let's run this race free.